Clocks on the deal?
No clocks on the deal.
Okay. All right. I'm glad to be back. I'd like to say amen. I have been blessed. And I've enjoyed today. I've considered my blessings today. And for you who are new or you're old and just cantankerous, you think I gave your pastor a hard time. You seem to enjoy it. I do not. I really ought to make it very plain. He and his wife are dear friends. I've known, I think, your pastor before he was grown. I used to preach for his daddy. And I preached for him way back up yonder somewhere. And then as he came to town, and I've known the boys almost ever since they've been born, learned to love one of the three. That's pretty good if you know those boys. If you get one out of three, that's pretty good. But they're blessed friends, have been all those years, 30 years plus now. And I'm very grateful for it. I was thinking today, every old man needs young friends. Absolutely. But wait, now, every young man needs old friends, too. The young men shall dream dreams. No, that's the old men, isn't it? And the young men shall see visions. And you put them together, and you got a pretty good deal. I used to go to old men all the time. That's hard to find for me to find anymore. Yeah, so I'm going to start spending more time with my young friends. But they encourage me. They challenge me. They keep me going. And I'm glad to count your pastor as a very special friend. And I appreciate him. I told the sound bunch tonight, I said, you do a good job. If you didn't, I wouldn't pay any attention to you. But I saw a lot of things in your pastor that I appreciated. He had a work ethic. Didn't mind working. That's always good. I watched him take care of his wife and family. That's required. I mean, that's just in the contract. And then he had a strong, reverential esteem for the Word of God. And I liked all of that. And so he just got on my good side for whatever that's worth and whatever it's not worth. And so if I want to give him a hard time, I said, oh, let's say this, I will. Okay. I will. So open your Bible tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You just get to chapter 9. We'll get the rest of it after a while. I've listened to the prayer request tonight. A lot of problems out there. A lot of needs. Blood, platelets, tests coming up, cancer. There are folks here with grief in their heart. Needs we'd never imagine. And we talk about stewardship. It's interesting, though, because stewardship really is the one thing that brings everything else into a strict focus. And the best time in the world to think about it is when you're at your worst. Now, you've heard me say many times, and if you don't agree with me, you can count it and see. But you're open to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I think you're open to chapter 9. Mine opens to both of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9 makes up the longest continual discourse in the Bible on Bible giving. But there's some interesting promises there. Now, you know, familiarity. Just familiarity. Just for what the dictionary defines it. Familiarity will cause us to take things for granted if we're not careful. Familiarity will cause me to take a friend for granted if I'm not careful. Or all of my friends, both of them, take them for granted. It'll cause you to take your spouse for granted. Just be married long enough to get familiar with one another, and then strange things happen. You take them for granted. Your children, your ministry, your church, your pastor, your service opportunities, your stewardship. We get familiar with it, and we take them for granted. And perhaps worst of all, as you become more and more familiar with the Word of God, the Bible, we more and more take the great promises of God for granted. And we hear them, and we read them, and we see them, and we say, that's good, and we just let them pass by. It's an interesting thing. So I want you to read. I want to read in your hearing again, chapter 8 of verse 9. It's terrible. As you lose your mind, you know, things get backwards. Let's try it again. Chapter 9, verse 8. That sounds better. You say, that's shameful. Oh, you ought to hear me trying to think of somebody's name sometimes. Verse 8, chapter 9. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I want to invite your attention to two words early in the sentence. All grace. And I want to speak to you on the subject tonight, He giveth more grace. We have to understand, when you talk about grace in the Bible, you meet it very early, way back over there in the book of Genesis. You get to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, the world is in a mess. Matter of fact, the world is going to hell. Every imagination of man has become wicked. God said, I'm just going to destroy the whole mess. And you get to verse 8 of chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Can you imagine what a marvelous, wonderful gift that Noah knew he was in receipt of? Noah found grace. Early in God's book, grace is introduced. But then, with 158 mentions of grace from there all the way through, you come to the last mention of grace in the last chapter and the last verse of the book. It's very simplistic. Revelation 22:21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. Amen. And so I want to speak to you tonight on He giveth more grace. It's interesting that God wants His last words with us to be a reminder of the wonderful wonder of grace, God's great offer. Now note our text again. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency, may abound to every good work. You say, now, preacher, that's talking about giving and money. Well, now, that's certainly the primary context. But just good English. Now, you don't have to get to the Greek and the Hebrew in this. Just an earnest, sincere reading of the English in this verse, and you will see that God lifts it far above just money, and He lifts it to a realm that very few of us ever walk on. I want us to examine it. I want you to see that God takes it further than just money. I've already settled it. The primary context is the giving of our substance. but it goes far beyond that. Help me with it now. Watch. Here we go. And God is able to make what? All grace. Not just the grace of giving, but all grace. Let's move on, though. Abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to what? Every good work. All grace, not just the grace of giving. Every good work, not just the work of stewardship. Everything that is required in the Christian life. Every grace that's ever needed. God said, I'll supply that. Now, if I understand the verse, and I don't want this to sound like I'm downplaying God, but in our language, in our lingo, if I understand the verse, God is a fixer. And God wants to fix us. Now, any of us who've been saved very long and are honest will admit that when God got us, He didn't get much. And we need fixing. And so God says now, all the way back to the back, I want to fix you. All the way along this section, I want to fix you. Back toward here, way back there, I want to fix you. And over here with the teenagers, I want to fix. I want to fix that thing that needs fixing in your life, you see. He wants to do right up here, take care of those two. You may be here tonight just about ready to throw in the towel. God wants to fix that. You may be here tonight weary of the hassle of life, weary of the battles that come, weary of the things that come you never thought would come. God wants to fix that. You may be here tonight and your marriage is in a mess. You say, preacher, you're talking to church members. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. Your marriage may be in a mess. God really wants to fix that. You may be here tonight, your children have hurt you, wounded you desperately. God wants to fix that. He giveth more grace, you see. God wants to fix it. You're hearing Christians have let you down. God wants to fix that. And we need to understand. I just want us to examine the promise. Because we come to the end of a stewardship meeting, folks say, you know, I'm just not in a position to give. God wants to fix that. God wants to fix it. God wants you. God wants to fix you so you'll live within your means and be able to cheer. You remember the words last night, the happy Christian stewardship, the happy Christian? God wants to fix you where you can be a happy, sufficient Christian enjoying all grace. Let's look at the promise just for a few moments here. I want us to note, number one, right out of the verse, God's power. God's power. Watch your verse. It's pretty simple. And God is able. God is able. In those three words, you find the answer to every question the world cannot answer for you tonight. God is able. What a marvelous statement that is, you see. I'm an old-fashioned Baptist. If you hadn't figured it out, I'm old and I'm old-fashioned. And that's a big B Baptist. Matter of fact, all caps, bold print, underlined, quotation marks, Baptist. Don't plan to change, so don't mess with me about it. I still believe all those omnis they taught us about God, that He is omniscient. He knows everything. Somebody said, explain that. I just told you all I know about it. But I sure believe it. He knows what needs fixing in your life. He knows what needs fixing in your life. He knows what needs fixing in your life. And He wants to fix it. He don't want to harm you or hurt you. He wants to fix it. He's omniscient. He knows. Not only that, they told me that He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, all the time. Which means, right there in the middle of your mess, there He is. Just waiting for me to turn to Him, for you to turn to Him, and just simply surrender and say, fix me, Lord. But wait, it also said he was omnipotent. Well, that's an interesting one. You know, if you get bored sometimes, look it up in a dictionary. Dictionaries are fun. Now, don't get the 1828 Webster, because back then, as they prepared the dictionary, they went to the Bible to see what words meant. Now, the new dictionaries, they make up stuff. Yeah. I mean, there are words in there that we didn't even talk about. Don't want to talk about them. But God is able, omnipotent. You look it up in the dictionary. They do some pretty neat stuff if you look it up. You know, they say omnipotent. They say like this: that's almighty, all powerful, having unlimited power and authority. And they just rattle on and on and on and on. And it seems like the Bible says, cut it out. God is able. That's all we need to know. All powerful. Do we believe that? Then I ask kindly, what's your problem? What's your problem? Now, God is able. What's your problem? God wants to fix it. He wants to take care of it. Number one, we've got to admit we've got a problem, especially when we're going to leave here and say, I'm only part of that stewardship. Notice the second thing, not only God's power, but notice God's possibilities. Just how far can you carry this promise? Now, we're trained up to be a reasonable people. Now, you know, be reasonable. You work through problems, find out what it is. And we're taught that there's a limit, you know, that you can only go so far with anything, and there's a limit. Let's look at your verse. And God is able to make all grace. That's no limit. That's all you need. There's nothing beyond His power. But here's what happens. In our busy lives, in our hectic lives, in our lives of worry and constant confronting of things we didn't expect, we begin to measure things without grace. And so we measure like this. Well, what's this going to cost me? And how long is this going to go on? And how much time will it take? And how much personnel will it take? And how much money will it take? And we keep measuring without grace, and very quickly we find ourselves stretched beyond our abilities and making reservations to have our nervous breakdown. Overwhelmed with life because we've measured without grace. Stretched beyond our ability. In 1978, I was the vice president of Oklahoma Baptist College in Oklahoma City, and we were having a revival, and church was a pretty large church that had the school at that time. And so we were having the meeting, and in the church, Bill Harvey was our music director at that time. Bill Harvey, if you never heard him, you missed a blessing. He worked for the Sword of the Lord and was a music director in a lot of the larger churches, wrote the song, probably in your hymn book if you've got the right one. Remember the song, I Want That Mountain? Bill Harvey wrote that. He was our song leader. Johnny Ramsey was preaching the meeting back in that day, 40 years ago, and tremendous, tremendous things were happening. Well, about Wednesday, it was Wednesday, we got word that an evangelist friend, all three of us knew him. His name was Hoyt Lemon. I don't know if any of you ever met him or not. He's from, well, Brother Cox knows him. He was from right here. Had been found unresponsive in his front yard. Unresponsive. The emergency crews came. They revived him. They rushed him to the hospital in Oklahoma City. Had to revive him two more times on the trip. Near death, they'd scheduled him for major heart surgery the next morning. And 40 years ago, major heart surgery is not what it is today. It wasn't outpatient stuff then. And so we decided, John Rams and myself and Bill Harvey said, let's go up after church and try to encourage Hoyt. And so we did. We headed for the hospital about 9:30, got there about 10 o'clock. And things at the hospitals, well, the whole world was different then. And we just walked up and told them who we were and went to Hoyt's room. Big old hospital in those old corridors. They'd all got quiet. It was past visiting hours. And we walked in, and Hoyt was where he could converse, and that was about it. And so we began to chat with him, and there was some joking going on and some light talk, just really trying to help him pass the time. And Hoyt was an unusual guy. He'd just say most anything. As a matter of fact, he loved to make jokes about his wife. Said, my wife's cooking is so bad. The flies at my house had a meeting, and they voted to put screens on the windows where they couldn't get in. That kind of fellow. And he lay there that night looking at us like, what are you talking about, as we joshed and talked with him. And finally he said, hold it, guys. Just hold it. He said, here we are in the hospital. Said, they don't know if I'm going to live or die. And they've told me I've got major surgery coming, and the chances are not good that I'll live. And they said, here, y'all guys are laughing and joshing and talking, and I'm scared. He just said the word. I'm scared. I'm fearful. I'm anxious. Well, I didn't know what to say. Evidently, Ramsey didn't know what to say. Bill Harvey always knew what to say. He said, let me sing to you, Hoyt. Now, I'm not going to sing to you. I could. But if I sung to you, you'd never let Wiggin sing another tune. So I'm not going to ruin his ministry. But there in that quiet hospital where you could hear a pin drop out there in the hall, Bill Harvey didn't wait for Hoyt to say, well, sing to me. He began to sing, and honestly, it's everybody knew the song but me, but I want you to listen to the words. He just began to sing. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow heavy. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. Listen now, listen to the chorus. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. And while that song echoed through those halls, Hoyt Lemon found peace in the same bed where he'd found fear through the grace of God. He giveth more grace. That's how far it'll go. It'll go as far as you need it to. And we need to understand that. But let's look on. Look thirdly, not only at God's power, he is able. Not only at God's possibilities, all grace, but let's look at God's potential plus. See, God is not a deficit. He's not a minus God. You don't need a minus mark with God. It's always a plus, God's potential plus. Look at the verse again. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, watch out now, may abound. See, he's more than just able. Now, that's one, that'd be a great thing to say about God. God is able. But he's more than just able. He is able to make all grace abound. In other words, you and I don't have to just get by. I talk to some Christians, and I know you do. And maybe you're one of them. How you getting along, friend? Man, I'm just getting by. I want to jack their jaw for Jesus' sake. You don't have to just get by. Christians don't need to be just getting by. We have a God who has a potential plus. You know, we don't have to struggle and struggle and struggle and find ourselves extended beyond our abilities. We can live within our means. We can have all need met. We can be what God wants us to be. You see, amazing. Notice number four, God's people. God's people. Look back at your verse. And God is able to make all grace abound toward whom? Who? You. That's none of that scattergun stuff like we preach sometimes. That's right to me and right to you. God wants to fix me. God's still working on me. And he wants to fix you. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful God, you see. Wants to fix those who are working in there in the nursery tonight. Wants to fix you who are ushering. He wants to fix those who have a part in the maintenance ministry and those who are a part of the staff. All of us, God wants to fix us, you see. It's all toward us. You know, and so if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, then why don't you just take God's promise up? Why don't you realize God lifted it out of that money thing, although it is in the money thing, and brought it to you. And he said along with that all grace thing, all needs supplied. I supply all needs. See, your family problem, God can fix that. Your financial problem, God can fix that. God wants to fix it. Your health problem. Huh? God wants to fix it. He wants to fix it according to his will. And his way with that's not always our way. But Paul said his grace is sufficient in that area. Right? I don't think Paul felt healed. I think he felt able to deal with it through grace. That thorn. He was sure it was hindering him from being what God wanted him to be. And God said, no, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So when I have to pop another pill just to keep going, and when I sit down and have pills for breakfast and pills for supper, and when I spend more time crawling around on the floor picking up pills than I do reading my Bible, I just remember that God's strength is made perfect in that kind of thing. Now, I don't understand that. I just know it's a fact. God's able, and God wants to fix what's bothering you. Your spiritual problem, God wants to fix it. I want us to look next at God's purpose. See, God just doesn't indiscriminately come around and say, I want to fix you. I'm going to fix you up. No, he has a purpose. Look back at your verse. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency. See, according to the promise of God, you can abound. I mean, that's just a promise. What it really happens when you lift it out of that primary context, God wants you to be fulfilled. You know pastors that are always looking for another church, Brother Eric. They're never happy. They're never fulfilled. They're never satisfied. And when they get to the next church, guess what? Same old, same old. Because the next church is not going to fix what they need. But God can do it, you see. All sufficiency. Yeah. I guess one of the saddest things you run into as an evangelist, you schedule a meeting a year down the road, and you buy your ticket, then you fly in there, and the preacher meets you at the airport, and the first question out of his mouth, you don't know where there's a good church looking for a pastor, do you? I said, no, they all got pastors. I know where there's some bad ones looking for a pastor. They don't want that one. so many Christians say, well, I just haven't had the opportunity to fulfill my potential. You especially find that in preachers. Why don't you let God fulfill His potential in your life and you be happy about it? That's the thing that's needed, you see. And you can't go by your feelings. You can't go by your moods. You can't go by what you think. Just get hold of God and claim His promise, and you'll find it sufficient. And lastly, notice God's proposal. God's proposal. It's an amazing thing. Let me read it to you. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, here it is, may abound to every good work. May abound to every good work. Now, what you need to do is just read what it says and take it verbatim. See, all sufficiency is not so we can drive a Bentley. All sufficiency is not so we can live in the biggest house in town. All sufficiency is not so we can have the biggest salary in town. No, God blesses us so we can be a blessing to others. And you can bless people in so many ways. You can bless little children. You can bless old folks. Try it on me. I have a new little friend back there. What's his name? So help me. What's his name? I can't hear you. Speak up. What's his name?
Henry.
Henry? Hank? Hank come up to me last night and shook hands with me. I thought, that's neat. Well, I come sit down, he come shook hands with me again and just stood there. And I said, how you doing? He said, I'm doing fine. He said, would you pray for me? That's what the boy said. I said, sure, I'll pray for you. And he just stood there. And I said, you got any money? I gave him $1 for the offering. We're friends now. So, and if you can't make them, buy them. My friend, anybody that'll approach me and say, would you pray for me? They're going to be my friend pretty quick. You can be a blessing. You know, if I'd be a blessing, you've already figured out it don't take much to be a blessing. You can be a blessing. See? And too many of us have forgotten that it's all about others. It's all about others. God gives us sufficiency. So now each of you know that you're a minister, don't you? God gives us sufficiency so that we can be sufficient in ministry to others, giving love and understanding and teaching people that the best is yet to come. I feel sorry for folks who think this is the best it's ever going to be. Oh, that's a sad situation if you're there. Well, we need to be teaching people the best is yet to come. And if you do that, you're going to have to smile every once in a while or folks won't believe you. But we sing it every day with Jesus. It's sweeter than the day before. Really? Couldn't tell it by looking. But it is. Every day, every hour is better than the hour before. Every week better than the week before. Every month better than the month before. Every year better. And Paul sums it up over there when he starts talking about being between that rock and a hard place and saying, you know, I don't know whether better to stay or go. And then he expounded on that go thing. He said, to be with Christ, I love the rest of it, which is far better. See, what's ahead for us is not just better. It's far better. I'm not quite sure what that word "far" is fully comprehending or what it's sending to be comprehended, but I think it's good. Far better. I'm blessed to have enjoyed a good life. I've had what the rest of you've had. I've had, you know, I've buried a wife. I've seen children go astray. But I've had a good life. But God said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Huh? Right. And you and I, God said, I'll make you all sufficient. And you get busy spreading the word. Here's the question. Is God able? Absolutely. Absolutely able. We ought to be giving thanksgiving in our worst of circumstances. Somebody said, pray tell why. Because we're on the way up. And we ought to learn to be happy Christians stewarding God's world while we're still here. It's an amazing thing. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency, may abound to every good work. Why don't you consider that tonight, or whenever you take your commitment cards? And why don't you get out of this thing of figuring out what you can do and let God lead you and direct you? And if you're not living inside your means, why don't you get there very quickly? Pastor, if you'll come and close our service for us, please.
And let's all stand. Hymn 534. Search me. What a message tonight. All grace. What a pointed message tonight. Applicable to all of us. And so all of us. Let's sing hymn 534. Lord, touch your heart, you come tonight.